Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Well, we've got Chicago Bears playoff football this week, baby. Tariq Cohen, all his guys, and that guy Matt Nagy will go up against one of his good friends, Doug Peterson, and the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. It's Mitchell Trubisky going to rise to the occasion. Is that defense going to be its smothering best? Bears and Eagles, we'll talk about it. College football is down to its final two teams. And, whoa, the Texas mascot wanted no part of the Georgia dog.
Bevo.
Bevo went after Uga. But Texas also dominated. And did the committee get it right with Bama, Clemson, and two others that got drilled? We'll get into all of it. Dave Wonstead, Teddy Greenstein, Sam Panayotovich are here. We got a lot of football to talk about coming up next. And good afternoon. I hope you had a great holiday. Happy healthy new year to everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our friends with the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Our panel today, he's the Chicago Tribune's football man. He is Teddy Greenstein, former Bears coach, now starring here and at Fox. He is the great Dave Wonstead. And from the VISN Network in Las Vegas, he's a Chicago guy doing great things in the desert. He's our guy, Sam Panayotovich.
We're going to get some inside Vegas information here, huh?
I'm going to give Cap an envelope, too, when I leave.
Hot.
Yes, absolutely.
Been good.
Hot. Absolutely.
All right. When you look at, you coached in the playoffs multiple times, you coached in the Super Bowl. Is it that much faster? Is it that much more scrutiny and pressure for guys that haven't played in the playoffs?
Well, I think mentally it is. You know, I don't know if it actually translates to that physically on the field. I mean, it's one of those deals where the coaches are, I'm sure Nagy's saying it, I'm sure Peterson's saying it, the players are saying it, hey, every play counts. You know what I mean? I mean, you go out there and you drop a pass in a regular season game, it may not be the difference in, you might not win that game, okay, but you got another week to kind of bounce back. There's no bouncing back on this one.
Did the Bears show you something against the Vikings? I mean, that was a game I think a lot of people thought they were just going to coast, and they did the opposite.
Wow, I was totally impressed. Maybe as impressed as I have been all year long. I really picked the Vikings to win last week when Matt Nagy said they were going to play the players, you know, the starters on through. And then I'm hearing stuff throughout the week that they were going to keep an eye on the Rams scoreboard to see how it was going. And then at halftime when Aaron Andrews interviewed him and he said, no, we're going to finish out this game with our starters. And this was a desperate Minnesota team. I mean, the Vikings, you're talking about underachieving now. It was great by the Bears and so disappointing by Minnesota.
There's a saying in Vegas, good teams win, great teams cover. The best cover team in the league this year, the Chicago Bears, 12-4. They covered 12 of their 16 games. And more importantly, Wani, they do it early. They jump out. In the first half, they're also really good. They're 11-5 in the first half. So they get ahead early. Mitch Trubisky hasn't made mistakes. People keep waiting for him to fall off the cliff. And this offense is led by a guy who's a weapon. Matt Nagy has changed the game. They get up early, and they rely on their defense to finish it late.
You know what? That's a good point. I'm going to give you some stats now. How about this? The Eagles are one of the worst teams in the NFL scoring points in the first quarter. They're a slow team. They're a slow starting team.
Same with Foles.
Chicago.
With Foles as well. It doesn't matter who's back there.
I mean, obviously, with Foles in there, their points have increased. Their completion percentage has increased. You know, they've won five out of their last six. But as far as the offense, and you know what's funny? They come out of the same system. We talked about Doug Peterson and Nagy right there. You know, they come out of the Andy Reid, who came out of the Mike Holmgren, who came out of the Bill Walsh. I mean, that's how far that tree goes back. And Bill Walsh started the list of calling the script in the first 15 plays.
Yeah.
So Doug Peterson's doing it also, just like Matt Nagy's doing it. His seemed to be not working as effectively.
I've wanted to ask this question for 20 years. When people talk about scripting plays, how do you script a play if you don't know if it's 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 1?
You know what? Do we have time for a story?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're playing San Francisco in the NFC Championship game when I'm with the Cowboys. And Bill Walsh then was the head coach, you know, and it was Steve Young and Jerry Rice and the whole crew. We're at Dallas, and I'm looking at this stuff, and I said to Jimmy, we're flying out on a plane. And I leaned over and I said, you know what? I said, what do you think this week? I says, I've got a script here of doing everything. Because back then we would, just like now, they get the computer report and they analyze all 16 games, right? Tendencies. And so I said, I'm looking at what he's calling the first 15 plays. We are going to do just the opposite on defense. Huh. Where we normally would play a run defense, we're going to blitz. So we get into the game. Jimmy says, well, you know, if you think it's going to work, you know, we'll go with it. You know, so we get out on the field. And it's raining like heck. And Jimmy looks over at me. He's on the one side, and he kind of kicks his foot in the puddle. And I knew what he – I mean, we had been together 16 years. I knew what he was referring to. Be careful on the blitzes. Offense has the advantage. The surface is wet. And all, he didn't say anything. He just kicked his foot. So we're up in the box. They show this replay of the game. You can see this. This is a script story. They hand the ball to Raffman. Bang, we hit him. They make about three. It's second down and seven, and we had always played a zone cover two coverage. Dave Campo and Butch Davis are on the field. I says, guys, we're going to follow this script. Blitz max. Okay, we had never blitzed max in second down and seven, I think it was, six and six. So I call it, and Jimmy's listening. He's not saying anything, he's listening. Jerry Rice, we had a rookie quarterback, Kevin Smith. He's on Jerry Rice. Steve Young goes to the line. I says, come on, snap the ball, snap the ball. Steve Young walks the line of scrimmage. I swear to God, you see it. He does this. He looks over at Jerry Rice. He kind of backs away. He looks at Jerry. He does this. Jerry goes like this. I says, oh, my God. We're screaming. They got it. They picked the blitz up. Sure enough, on the snap of the ball, Jerry Rice does about three moves. Our rookie corner, falls down.
Blew a tire.
He's laying in the mud. 80-yard touchdown pass. 80 yards. Called back. Their offensive center held Russell Maryland. All of us, me, Campo, Butch, Jimmy, were all ripping up those scripts at the same time. That was the end. It's the last time we ever tried that on defense. So they might work on offense, to answer your question. But that's a story of scripting a defense.
Anybody concerned about Mitchell Trubisky going into this game? He's never played a playoff game. He's been really good the last 3 weeks. I thought his game against Minnesota was one of his best games of the year.
You know, the last 3 weeks, the Eagles now are they're number one in the NFL in third down defense. They're number one in the last 3 weeks in rushing defense, stopping the run, and third down defense. So my thought is that the Bears just cannot fall behind early. Somehow, some way, you know, they got to keep making first downs, and they can't fall behind. If they fall behind, and now it's a whole different ballgame. Now your running game obviously gets diminished a little bit. Your defense isn't much of a factor, as big of a factor, and now the more of the burden falls on Mitch. So I think that is the key. Don't fall behind early.
I want to ask Sam, all right, is the line six?
Yes, could be seven. Might go to seven.
Ooh, so if you're going to bet the Bears, jump on them now?
Do it now. And it was funny. It opened up at 4.5. And people are like, that seems a little high. Got to seven offshore. And then came back down. There's people on the other side. They took the seven with Philly. But now it's about six. I think it might close 6.5 or 7. But that's the biggest line this week.
It's the
biggest one in the league.
What are you comfortable with if you're going on the Bears side?
I think the Bears win by 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
I really do. And that's a non-biased. I mean, yeah. I do this for a living now. I have to be right, or at least be semi-right. And this defense is mean. This is a really good defense. And your point on Philly, we could have stopped, the four of us and maybe seven other guys could have stopped the Redskins last week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They were brutal.
Yeah, that was rough. You know, they've had a lot of players hurt. The interesting thing, you know, Nick Foles, why that could happen is, you know, he's been – his history up until last year in the playoffs – he has been kind of a streaky quarterback. When he's hot, he's hot. When he's cold, he's really cold. And, you know, he was banged up last week. He had to leave the game, you know, with that chest bruise or whatever they're calling it. So he's coming off of a little bit of an injury. You know, is he going to have a hot hand? I don't know. I think that's the key. I think you're going to know how this game is going to unfold early in the game by what the Bears do and by how Foles is. If he comes out, what's he completing right now? Hey, in the last 3 weeks, he's number one in the NFL, guys, in completion percentage with a quarterback. He's completing 77% of his passes.
And they've changed their offense, too. Schematically, what the Bears have to do, they have to stop the tight ends. They've been going double threat, both Ertz and Goddard. They've been eating up linebackers over the middle with the big tight ends. You have to stop the tight ends. That's the key. But with Chicago's defense, There's a star at every level, and you can't double-team anybody. You double-team Mack, it opens up Floyd. You worry about Trevathan, then it's Smith. Hicks takes three guys with him on every play, and then if Eddie Jackson, assuming he's healthy, he's a ball hawk. It's a very tough defense to prepare for, but you have to stop the tight ends. That's what's been the run for Philly. Ertz and Goddard down the field.
Hey, this is Jeffrey's first game back here since
it
is, isn't it?
Should be interesting. So I talked to two football guys today, Dan Orlovsky and Tommy Waddle, who played for you.
Danny was with us at Tampa.
There you go. Great. Talked to both of them. Both guys said they believe Philly will come out in a lot of cover three and that there will be opportunities to run a deep cross and then make plays over the top of that against a banged up Philly secondary. Do you agree with that?
I don't know if they're going to play cover three or not. They would maybe know more about that than me. I just know that they have, of the guys they got on injured reserve, I was looking this morning, they have a running back, a Jaya Train or whatever they, you know, a Train.
Jaya
Train or whatever they call him at Miami, his nickname. They got a defensive end on injured reserve, and they got three defensive backs.
Correct. Darby's
the big one. They got a safety and another corner. So they got three defensive backs, is my point, on injured reserve. So that's an area where they're starting a rookie from Pitt. You know, he's, what, a fourth-round pick or something like that, and he's starting at corner.
So you could make some plays in the passing game.
You could make some plays in the passing game.
They're going to have to. Who do you think is going to be the more effective running back for the Bears?
You know what? I think Cohen.
Yeah.
You know, I I'm just basing it off Philly, you know, where they were last year. They started off, it was the Super Bowl hangover early. But these last three or four weeks, they are the number one run-stopping defense in the NFL. So I think that, you know, banging up in there with Jordan Hyatt, I don't know if he can make a living doing that. Cohen is BYOB, I used to call it. He's one of those backs. Be your own blocker. You know, we can't block that guy, so make him miss.
He's tough.
He's tough.
He is really tough. Okay, in terms of Khalil Mack, what type of a factor do you think he is to help other guys like Leonard Floyd and some of the others get to the quarterback? Because you're facing an immobile guy. He's not real mobile.
Yeah, you know what? He'll be a factor. I mean, I think this is a week where
– do they double him? Do they triple him?
Oh, they're going to do that stuff. But I think great players, and he's a great player, in games like this, your stars have to show up. And I think he shows up regardless of if they turn the protection or if they double team him or whatever they do. I think he's going to find a way to make plays. This might be the week that Vic Fangio moves him around a little bit. You know, we may see him in a few different spots, but he's not going to. I don't see him dropping into coverage much. He's going to be having. He's going to have his
get after
hand
the
on the ground and getting after the quarterback, I think.
Sam, are you an over under guy?
Not in this game. This all these totals, too, Teddy, they come down quite a bit. The total's like 41.
It's pretty small, right?
It seems low, but in this league, it's been so tough in primetime games, and this is going to be it's a playoff game. It's a primetime game. The league wants offense. And you know how many times you get a stop on third down? Flag, defensive holding, PI, offside. I mean, there are so many flags. It's so tough to go under in big games like this because the league wants points. They want people to watch. They want sexy games. They want, you know, a lot of offense. So it's tough to go under 41. It's such a low number.
Right. All right, you got the playoff show coming up with Stucky.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay, thank you.
You look forward to it. We'll see you in a little bit.
Look at my gear arm.
I know.
Tony Medlin takes care of me. The Bears take care of me. Yes they do.
Yes, he took good care of you. That's a sweet vest. You can leave that by my desk. All right, we got to take a timeout. Up next, we'll get a scouting report on the Eagles as Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philly joins us. Plus, we'll switch to the college game. Bama Clemson again for the national title. Is this rivalry good for college football? And are the semifinal blowouts a sign that we need more teams in the playoff or that things are just fine the way they are?
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
A big part of your heart is that it's going to be fun going back there, like to the city at least.
I love the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what I
I love the city of Philadelphia. Chicago was just when I was there for work.
Okay. So is there any emotions for you playing the Bears this weekend?
I don't got no emotions. It's a football game and the way we're trying to go.
You care how you're received when you kind of drag out of there?
Booze, it don't matter to me. I play for the Eagles, so.
Does that feel?
That come with the nature of the business.
All right, Alshon. We'll see how he is greeted by the Bears faithful who once cheered him. We go now to the city of brotherly love, to Philadelphia, and we have NBC Sports Philadelphia's Derek Gunn with us. Okay, Derek, how healthy, first of all, is this Eagles team? They've been playing good football, five of their last six, but the injured reserve list shows three guys in the defensive backfield not available. How important is health for you guys?
Well, that's one thing they've been able to overcome all season long. I mean, first of all, it was a running back situation that was decimated. Of course, you know, after the Super Bowl, LeGarrette Blount moved on, and then they had such a good power game coming in, but then you lose Jay Ajayi to a knee injury, and then a young back who had a phenomenal Super Bowl game last year, Corey Clement, goes down with an ACL tear. You didn't have Darren Sproles for much of the season. He was your featured back in terms of the matchup game and third down situations. So other people have had to step up. And then you look at the secondary. Along the way, they've lost three-fourths of their starting secondary from their Super Bowl championship team. So during the course of the season, when it got around to late October to late November, they were bringing in guys off the practice squad to play defensive back. They were picking up guys who were on the street, a guy named Devontae Busby, and he had to get a crash course in terms of not just being a filler on the sideline, but actually playing significant downs for this team. And Malcolm Jenkins, who's a jack of all trades and a master of all of them as a DB for the Eagles, he was grooming these young guys, and they finally turned them loose. And he went to the coaches and said, look, we have to simplify the scheme for these guys to fit in. And once they simplified everything on both sides of the football, everything began to coming together for this team.
In terms of Nick Foles, why does it seem from this seat, again, I don't watch the Eagles every single play, why does it seem like the Philadelphia Eagles play better when he's at quarterback?
We keep asking that question time and time again, and from my perspective, I think Nick does a little bit better job than Carson in terms of getting everybody involved in the offense, especially the passing game. Sometimes Carson will lock on to a receiver a little bit too much, but with Nick Foles, every receiver has to keep his head on a swivel because you just don't know when the ball is going to come to you. And because a lot of teams feel that Nick Foles is not that mobile quarterback who can scramble, they like to put a lot of pressure on him up front. And the way he beats that is dumping it off in the flats or the swing passes or the quick screen passes as well, both to the running backs and the wide receivers.
All right, in terms of last year's team to this year's team, you already talked about the defensive backfield and the running backs. Compare and contrast the team we're going to see at Soldier Field on Sunday, the team we watched beat the Patriots.
Wow. The team that you're going to see on the field this Sunday is a team that had to evolve in a lot of ways. You have a good core group of guys who knew what it was like to go through that war last year to get to the Super Bowl. The difference is everybody had to come through Philadelphia. This time, to get back to the bowl, they've got to go on the road and win three games instead of two games to get back to the show. It's a confident bunch. It's a loose bunch of guys as well. And from what they've been saying, look, nobody expected us to be here. They don't feel any pressure on them. They feel the pressure squarely on the shoulders of the Chicago Bears because the Bears are divisional champs and the Bears have this game in their own backyard.
Appreciate the knowledge. Look forward to seeing you when you get to town. Thanks again.
All right. Have a good week.
You too. There you go. Derek on NBC Sports Philadelphia. All right. Let's move to college football. And we had a bunch of interesting games. There's too many bowls, Teddy.
Oh.
But, oh, God, please, don't get me started. We don't have enough time.
Cheez-It Bowl, Cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Some boring bowls. But how about this? Yeah. BMO went, Ugga! Hey, you weigh about the size of one of my legs. Ugga got way out of the way quickly.
It's a sign of things to come, man. Texas came out, and this actually did not surprise me. Georgia guys were complaining all week about not being in the playoff. They're thinking about transferring. Texas came out.
Better to die before the show.
So Texas wins that game convincingly. But do you not believe that there are too many of these bowl games?
No. I do not believe
six
that at all.
Six-win teams should be playing bowl games.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a reward for players. I remember talking to a kid who played at Northern Illinois a bunch of years ago, and they played in the International Bowl in Toronto, and it was like one of the best experiences of his life. So there are a lot of bowl games, and for college football nuts like me or all the people who are in betting pools, you know, it's something to watch. Why take that away from people? Like, For example, I don't like watching regular season NHL games unless they involve the Blackhawks, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't exist because other people do like to watch them.
That stretch, too, after Christmas, after the 25th through New Year's Day. Is there a better stretch? People aren't working. They're laying on the couch. Yeah. They're going to have another bowl of popcorn, have another drink, have another cocktail,
and
watch football all day.
Bowl games are a great escape. People are trying to escape their families, their jobs, their school. There's football on. What's wrong with it?
All right, do you guys believe there should be – I know where you're going to answer.
Yeah.
Do you believe there should be expansion to the playoff?
I'd take six, maybe give the top two a bye, and then let the other four play out. I don't need eight. I don't need 16. I don't need to see Alabama play Fresno State win by a million. I don't need to see it. I think six would be okay. Give the top two byes. Let the other four play it out. You're still going to end up, though,
okay,
with the best two
did
teams.
Did the committee get it right?
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Georgia was five and Ohio State was six. I saw Ohio State play all season. For most of the season, they looked like a borderline top 15 team. Obviously, they turned it on at the end, played great against Michigan, beat Northwestern soundly. But that was absolutely not a playoff team. What I like in a playoff is for it to be really hard to make it. I like the debates, and, you know, not every conference is going to send its champion. I mean, the Pac-12 didn't deserve to have a playoff team this year. You know, if you go by rankings, Michigan, which was seventh in the rankings, definitely didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. I like it where when Notre Dame lines up, anytime they lose a game, that might be it. And when Ohio State lost to Purdue, that was the one. So a lot of those who love college football, we see the entire regular season as the playoff.
All right, let's talk about Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
The Cats come back. I saw the tweet at halftime. We're making some adjustments. We'll be right back. And then they go out and score 28 in the third quarter. There's a bunch of turnovers. And they win. And then Fitz on the podium. I'm a Cat. Go yeah. Cats. I'm not going anywhere.
Home forever. Absolutely.
Do you believe that?
Oh, I do. Especially this year. Look, you know, this Packers thing, I had to write about it because, first of all, a lot of NFL media are all excited about it. And there's so many links there. The Harlan link, the Mark Murphy who hired him at Northwestern. Green Bay has four players. Geographically, it's sound. But if you're Fitz now, you just won the Big Ten West. You've got incredible facilities. Love the AD. Love the president. Five-star quarterback starting next year. And you just won the West. At some point in his life, if he feels that, go to the NFL, not now.
All right, time for a quick timeout. We'll wrap up STL and get the guys' picks on the Bears game next.
Hey, guys, this is Lance Briggs. Make sure to join me, Matt Forte, Alex Brown, and Lawrence Holmes every Sunday after the game for the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago.
The Football After Show is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
All right, before we get out of here, I got to get the guys' picks. Who wins Sunday, Bears, Eagles?
Chicago 24, Philly 13.
27-17, Cap, Bears.
Yeah, I was 24-13, 27-13, somewhere in there. I don't have to make my pick till Friday. Guys, thank you for being here. Keep killing it out in the desert. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you tomorrow.